from wherever you're tuning in. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Crossroads, wherever you're joining our live stream. Hey, listen, 2 weeks ago was Easter. We gave you an opportunity, those that were here, to take bags home with you. And when you got groceries, to pick up some groceries because of our partnership with Fishes and Loaves, a local pantry here that serves hundreds of people every month, giving them one of the necessities of life, food, hygiene products. And many of you did that, and you brought them back last week, and then several of you came back at 1 o'clock and helped us deliver. It was our 10th year of doing that, so thank you for participating for 10 years in doing that. Steve Palmer, pastor at Fishes and Loaves that leads that ministry, said that Crossroads over the last 10 years has given them enough food to fully do what they do for an entire year. So thank you for doing that. Yeah. And you brought in about 3/4 of a ton of food yesterday that will serve them for nearly a month at Fishes and Loaves. So thank you, thank you, thank you on behalf of those that you are serving in this community. Thank you. It's God honoring. I really believe that. Hey, we're in a series of messages called Everything You Need to Know About Life is in Your Fishbowl, and we kind of compared our lives to that of living in a fishbowl. We've got our tank, we've got what our environment, our habitat is. Today, we're going to flip a switch a little bit, and we're going to talk about people. Because the best part of life is people, and the most challenging part of life is people. Yeah. And so we're going to look at what we're going to call fish faces. We're going to take different types of fish and apply those or kind of overlay those on people that are in your life, people that are swimming in your family, at your place of work, all around us. And we've got a long list of fish. So you got to be ready to go. We're going to kind of go pretty quickly. You can take out your message outlines. And I'm going to ask that you kind of sort through the Rolodex as we go through these. My guess is when we talk about different fish, there's going to be different people that pop up in your mind. But I want to caution you not to think about other people per se. I want you to look for these fish qualities in your own life. Because the hardest person to see sometimes in reality of what's going on is the person we look at in the mirror. So yeah, let's don't point fingers today. Let's say, God, point at us. Show me these qualities in myself. And it's, yeah. So this is not about tweaking someone else's tank. You're going to walk away and say, boy, I wish so-and-so. I hope they were listening. I hope they were online, whatever. This is for you. All right, so the first fish that we're going to look at on the big screen there is the goldfish. The goldfish. Now, goldfish are kind of cute. Those are the ones that you win when you take the little ping pong balls and throw them at the carnival into a bowl, and they let you take one home, and you think they're so cute, and you don't really know much about a goldfish. Because there are goldfish all around us. Some of us are goldfish. I would say that most of us have some goldfish in us. Goldfish are materialistic people. Now, before you think that's not you, just take a look around your house in your mind. Tell me how many of your closets are packed full, how packed your garage is, your basements. You got me, right? We like material things. Things attract our eyes. That's a goldfish. And listen, goldfish, these materialistic bubble people, they walk around blowing bubbles of more. 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 Go to the grocery store to get some stuff. What, you brought home stuff you didn't have on your list. Why? More. Because we all got goldfish in us. We've all got a little bit of goldfish in us. A lot of people think that having stuff is really the definition of success. The more stuff I have, the bigger stuff I have, the more expensive stuff I had, right? That's a goldfish thing. More, more, more. And goldfish have this tendency to swim at the bottom of the aquarium near the treasure chest. Because there's always a treasure chest, right? And they're always looking for more. The Bible says this to those of us that have some goldfish moments, if you will. Whoever, what, loves money, never has money enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with his income. They asked Howard Hughes years and years ago, the richest man on the planet at that time, Howard, how much money does it take to satisfy a man? You know what he said? A little bit more. Oh, and you and I are, oh, Howard. Like he's some crazy. We think the same thing. Oh, I don't have to be wealthy, but just a little bit more, right? That's us. That's us, goldfish people. All right, so let me, they're always wanting more. I want a bigger house. I want a nicer house. I want a, I was satisfied with my car until I saw theirs. Oh, I mean, I was just spending some time looking on Amazon. Why does Amazon show up to your house more than relatives? I don't know. Again, we're looking for a little goldfish in us. Listen, if you're dating someone and that's you kind of get tipped off, that's them, swim away from the goldfish. Yeah, because you'll never satisfy them. I'm so thankful. I mean, literally. One of the things I love about my wife is when Debbie and I were dating and started talking about the whole marriage thing, I could tell from her, just the way she conducted herself, that I wasn't marrying a goldfish. She would be satisfied, and she's told me, I don't care if we live in a cardboard box. I'd be okay, because we'll make it home. Listen, that's what you want. And I was an engineer. Well, I was in the Air Force when we got married. Then I was an engineer, and she didn't know that would come back to haunt her, because then you know, I came here and started Crossroads for $25 a week. So we didn't live in a box, but we came close a couple of times. But anyway, I'm so grateful for that. So I'm going to give you some goldfish facts. We're going to look at facts about these fish. And we're again, there's a lot of fill-ins today. And so I got to move or I'm going to get myself in trouble and we'll be here for a long, long time. So we fill these in if you're taking notes. First fish fact is we all have those goldfish moments. Can we just agree with that? Just admit it. I mean, you're in church. We all have some of that more in us, right? More. We all do that, or most all of us do that. Here's the second fish fact, is you got to limit your swim time with the goldfish. If you swim too much with goldfish, you will become more like the goldfish. You'll let the more monster bite you, and you'll find yourself not being content with what you have. That's a fish fact, Jack. It is. You hang out with those, and you're going to have a tendency for that to wear off. Do you know a goldfish will actually eat itself to death if you let it? Yeah. Yeah, they just will. So anyway, enough of that. And here's another fish fact. Show goldfish you love them for who they are and not for what they have. Show goldfish that you love them for who they are and not what they have. All right, let's go to the second fish. What went on behind me? Oh, that's right. Shoot. How did I forget that? These kids upstairs showing us. Let's see your favorite fish faces. Speaking of fish faces, somebody should read their own notes. That is awesome. Yeah. Oh, my. You gotta love it. You gotta love it. Where's this fish face? All right. Oh, we got one for that one just for sure. That is, oh, uh-oh, we got a floater. We have a floater. That is awesome. Those of you upstairs on tech, I apologize. Holy cow, I just ran on. And then I'm like, what the heck? You guys are talking behind my back. Anyway, yeah, I missed my whole cue to go upstairs to get some fish faces, and so they did what they should have done and be like, okay, dude, you told us, so we did it. So thank you for that, and yeah, some real fish faces. All right, let's go to the second type of fish. There's another fish that's in our tank that you're probably familiar with. It's a pretty mean fish. We're talking about the piranha. Now, piranhas, man, they're bad to the bone. If you know a piranha... Thanks for, yeah. Hey, it's my fault. Anyway, if you don't think we're real around here, yeah, we're real. Anyway, piranhas are bad to the bone, and they will bite. And when they smell blood in the water, listen, they will go after it. They will all gather, and they will strip a person to the bone or another animal to the bone. These piranhas are just bad. They're really bad. They're backbiting people. I'm not going to ask if you know any piranhas because, again, we're looking for the piranha in us. Are you a backbiting person? Are you one of those when you smell blood in the water, when someone's getting picked on, when somebody's being verbally attacked, when somebody's being attacked on social media, do you tend to just join in? Because the attention's not on you, it's on someone else, and you kind of smell blood in the water, and you just go after them. You piranha them, right? Piranhas are vicious, vicious little fish. And notice what God's word says about piranha people. If you what? If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. If you're ever around or you're on social media and you see someone being piranhaed, or your friend, you're with some of your friends and one of them jumps in and starts piranhaing another person, can I just tell you, if they'll do it to them, they're going to do it to you? So you might join in because you think, well, at least it's not me. Not now. It will be later. Those piranhas, man, they're bad. They're bad to the bone. They're bad to the bone. What are some fish facts about some piranhas? Let's look at them. Because I know some piranha people, and so do you. And I want to look at the piranha in me. So here's the fish facts for the piranha. Come to terms with the piranha within. Take an honest assessment of yourself. Do your words bring life, or do you piranha some people? Do you tear people down? Can you get quickly caught up in tearing someone else down with your words? Listen, I don't even care if it's true. Doesn't mean it needs to be said. You're still piranhaing people, right? Here's another fish fact about piranha. Put yourself in their scales. Put yourself in their scales. You know what I find is that hurting people hurt people. And so oftentimes people that are biting and chewing on other people are really hurting inside. I'm not saying it excuses what they're saying. But when you see someone and you kind of can look behind what they're saying and say, here's a person that's hurting, you might look at them a little different. You might offer them a little more grace. You're not excusing what they're doing. But more than likely, piranha people that will attack others are being attacked or have been attacked in the past. Here's another fish fact. This is a good one. Swim near the surface. Don't piranha another piranha. You're going to face them wherever you're at. They're in schools. We call them bullies. Those are piranhas. They're at work. They're in your neighborhood. They're in your family. I mean, piranhas are just a part of life because all of these personalities, all these people swim in our tanks. They're in our habitat. The best thing about life is people. The challenging part about life is people. They tend to hang at the bottom of the tank. They tend to hide behind rocks, waiting for a victim. Don't swim at the bottom of the tank with the piranhas. Don't criticize them because they're there. Don't swim so close to them that you become like them, but maybe an understanding of them. They're negative, they're backbiting because they've been hurt. How can you love on a piranha without getting bit? It's careful. Let's talk about another fish. We're going to talk about sucker fish. Sucker fish are people that drain you. Sucker fish are the people that they invite you over to their house, or maybe you invite them to your house, maybe you go out to dinner together. And you're reminded pretty quickly that they're a sucker fish. Like they just kind of leech onto you. They start to drain energy from you. If you stay connected to them or in an area with them long enough, they will literally suck you dry. Those are the type of people, after a while, you're reminded like, oh, gee whiz, why did we do this again? When are they going to leave? Why don't they take social cues? Like, when can we get out of here? Like, we've already paid the check. Don't they get the hint? Like, I've stood up. I put my coat on. Suckerfish. Again, we're not looking at them. We're looking at ourselves. Suckerfish relationships, it's a part of life, but you got to balance them. You can't have, here's the problem. You have too many suckerfish. Listen, you'll have no energy. You just be like, oh my gosh. I've got so many suckerfish attached to my life, like I can't even do life. I mean, here a suckerfish, there a suckerfish, everywhere a suckerfish, right? Some of us, that's where we live. It's like, oh my goodness. And you know why suckerfish attach? Because they're needy. Oh, I need you. Financially, I need you. You'll listen to them, and listening is not a bad thing, except when you start agreeing and they're backbiting, they're piranhaing at the same time, and all of a sudden you're like, oh my gosh, they need emotional help. I don't have that much to give them. And they're like, but I need you, man. I need you. If you're not there, nobody else is going to be there. And you say, okay, go ahead. And then, well, listen, that's a problem. Too many sucker fish will drain you dry. Now, I'm not telling you don't be sensitive to people's needs. That wouldn't be God-honoring. But we can't be enabling. We can't be dysfunctional with these people. You're not the Savior. You can't solve everybody's problem that, quote, need you. And some of us like to be needed. And so it's kind of a double whammy there. And then all of a sudden we look and we're like, we have no energy. And then you look in the mirror and you got all these sucker fish attached to you. And you're like, I don't know what to do. Christians oftentimes are really tyrannized by sucker fish, right? I think every Christian has about 5 or 10 stuck to us. We're trying to deal. We want to help. We want to make everything better, but we can't make everything better. And we miss sometimes what would be healthy that Jesus would want us to do. Think about your relational world. You have some sucker fish? Are you a sucker fish? Again, the hardest sucker fish to find is the one that you look at in the mirror. Let's look at some sucker fish facts. The first thing you need to do is pull the sucker fish off the sides of your life. Don't be shy about them. You just need to pop some off. Just pop them off. Does that mean you don't care about people? No, but you can't be drained or it'll take you down as well. Put boundaries in your bowl. That's another fish fact. We've got to have boundaries. We've been talking about that since January. This boundary thing keeps coming up, but you've got to have boundaries. We all need boundaries in our lives in many, many different areas, but you got to put a boundary around your family. You got to put a boundary if you're a spouse around your spouse. You got to put a boundary around your time. Because if you let everybody else dictate your time, then you don't have boundaries, then you're going to be sucked dry and you're not going to do what God asked you to do. It's one of the most difficult things sometimes for me to do because everybody has an expectation of what I should do with my time. And whatever they need at the time is the most important. And I get that. That's just human tendencies, right? But you can run yourself dry and do it in a way that's not honoring to God at all. And then here's a third fish fact. Confront in love when you need to. You've got to come to a point where you go to a sucker fish in private and say, hey, listen, I love you, I appreciate you, I've tried to help you, whatever, but I've got to put up some boundaries here. I've got to be honoring to God as well, and I can't give you all of my time. We've got to have some balance. I've got to have some balance in my relational world. Suckerfish relationships. There's a fourth kind of a fish that I love this one, the flounder. Flounder are people that struggle with commitment. And they're kind of watching. If you've ever seen a sucker fish, they got like eyes on the top of their head. They're flat and they're there. It's weird. They're really weird. But they lay low. They'll bury themselves in the sand and they'll just look. But sucker fish in life, they won't commit. Ladies, you might have dated some sucker fish. You've dated some of those too, but some flounders. You know, oftentimes what ladies say, you know, we've been dating, but he won't commit. He's a flounder. Just call it what it is. But they don't just happen in dating relationships. You can find flounders anywhere. You can find flounders in church. Sometimes I just want to scream at flounders. Like of all places that you're not going to commit in church as a Christian, really? Like people that will sign up and not show up? People that would get scheduled and then just have something better come along and just bail out on God's work? Are you kidding me? Are you going to flounder in God's church? It's quiet. Holy cow. What a word for us today, though, right? Do you struggle with commitment? Some of us are overcommitted, and then we can't be committed to anything because we're overcommitted. Boundaries, priorities, doing things God's way, there again is important. But what a word, because there's a little bit of flounder in all of us that struggle. So here's some flounder fish facts. Be willing to swim away from the flounder. Are you ready to spin on your fins and get away from a flounder? Listen, because they'll rub off as well. Again, I'm not telling you to be dishonoring to someone. Never is that okay. But we got to have some balance in our habitat. Here's another one. Get them to talk truth. If you really love a flounder, you've got to sit down and talk truth. Sometimes people just don't want to be honest, even in love. They'd rather skirt around the issue. They'd rather not say anything. And by not saying anything, you're saying something. So if you really care, you'll sit down and say, hey, can we talk about this? And then the third thing, and listen to me very clearly, because some of you don't email me about this. But the third fish fact for this flounder is you got to be willing to... You got to flush the flounder. Sometimes you just got to be willing to flush the flounder. Does that mean you discard them? No, but listen, can't believe he said that. He said flush the flounder. Like, what are we talking about? Life is too short to be in relationships, deep relationships with a flounder. If you're dating a flounder and you've been dating for 10 years and he or she won't commit, listen, you have to draw a line at some point. You got to be willing to flush the flounder. All right. This next one's a hilarious fish. I love this fish. We're going to talk about the blowfish. Now listen, again, we all might know a blowfish. I want you to look for the blowfish in you. Blowfish are prideful, arrogant people. Now, no one wants to think of themselves as prideful or arrogant. But there's a little bit of it in almost every single one of us. I say almost because there's always somebody to say, not me, which I would say, look in the mirror again, ask people around you. I would almost say every single buddy, but I'll leave a iota for maybe somebody that's not. But many of us, there's a tendency we want to toot our own horn, or we like to toot the horns of our own family, our own kids, and that's a different story. But do you know some blowfish? They're prideful. They tend to be arrogant. They're puffed up. The blowfish, they'll puff up like a ball. Like, it's kind of like saying, look at me. Look at me. Look how good I am. You want to know how good I am? Just ask me. I'll tell you how good I am. You know what I'm talking about? Those are the people that are always the one-up people. No matter what story you have, they've got one better. They know somebody that did it better. They did it better. Their mama did it better. Their grandpa did it better. You just have to ask them. They'll tell you. They'll puff them up as well. Look at the passage in 1 Corinthians 4:7. Why are you so puffed up about? I love it. What do you have that God hasn't given you? Ooh. And if all I have is from God, why act as though you're so great? And as though you have accomplished something on your own. You know what he's really saying? Why would you puff yourself up about something that actually God created in you? It's a great thing, right? Let's look at some fish facts for blowfish. Their insecurity usually drives them to the center of their tank. These blowfish often are insecure, which is why they tend to toot their own horn, why they tend to puff themselves up, why they tend to blow themselves up. They tend to be insecure. Here's the second fish fact. I love this. Quality fish don't have to advertise. My dad told me years and years ago, matter of fact, he said it often to me. He said, son, he always called me son. He said, have you ever noticed that Rolls-Royce don't have commercials? They don't advertise Rolls-Royces. You know why? Because if you can afford a Rolls-Royce, you know it's one of the best-made cars there is. They don't have to advertise. And if you're what you are because of what God created you to do or to be, you don't have to puff yourself up. You don't have to say, look at me, look at me. Man, I'm the man. I'm the girl. I'm the bomb. I'm all that in a bag of chips. My wife tells me that. No, I'm kidding. See, there's a puffer fish in all of us. Here's another fish fact. Minimize opportunities for those blowfish to puff up. You don't want to give a blowfish bait. You know those people that'll kind of teeter around you, you can kind of tell that they're baiting you to say something so they can puff themselves back up? Don't do that. Don't do that. I'll probably get in trouble for telling this because my wife's not even proud of this story. So she doesn't like some of my stories. But I'm only telling you this story to illustrate a point. When I was in school, I went to Tecumseh, right? And graduated from there. When I was in high school, I think it was 9th or 10th grade, we had a guy that moved to the area, and he was one of these blowfish types. He would puff up everything. No matter what story you told, he had a better story. And he did it consistently. He hadn't even been there. I think he was trying to fit in looking back, but as a kid, you don't understand that, right? How people are trying to make up for these things. But anyway, we were going into drafting class one day, and I kind of prompted, we had a guy, and some of you will know him probably, so Big Tom, Cassie's sitting, and so we had some people know Big Tom. But Big Tom was a big Tom. He was a big boy. He's a big guy. And this other guy, I'm not going to name his name, but he would always have these stories. And so we got a story starter one day, but I had already prompted Big Tom and a couple of guys of what we were going to do because my deal was to stop the puffer fish, right? And so anyway, we're talking about him. I don't even call what we'll call him. I'll call him Andy. It wasn't his name. But anyway, so we're talking to Andy, and I'm like, Andy, you need to ask Big Tom because Andy was talking about how fast his dad was, and his dad had set some records in some state or whatever as one of the fastest guys when his dad was in college or whatever. And I said, oh, Andy, you ought to talk to Big Tom. Big Tom's daddy would outrun your daddy. I'm telling you, Big Tom's dad back in the day was the thing. No, he couldn't have been faster than my daddy because my daddy, I'm saying, well, you just have to ask him. So we're standing out in the hall getting ready to go in a drafting, and Andy comes up to Tom, says, hey, Big Tom, I heard that you thought your daddy could outrun my daddy. My daddy was the fastest. Your daddy wouldn't have been that fast. And Big Tom, you got to picture Big Tom. Big Tom reaches his big hand and grabs Andy by the shirt collar, and he pushes him up on the wall, and he says, you idiot, I ought to punch you out right now. My dad doesn't have any legs. And Andy went, I'm sorry. They told me. And we were over in the back. And it was a lie. I don't even know what that fish is yet, but I lied to make up that story. But Andy didn't puff himself up so much after that. I'll just say, and Big Tom made it look real, like, you idiot, I'm just going to pound your face in because my dad don't have any legs. How dare you to make that up? Anyway, that's my puffer fish story. So, Deb, I'm sorry for telling that story again. But God can even use sinful things to teach things to other people. So, yeah. Now I even forgot. Did I give you the last fish fact about that? All right. So minimize your opportunities for them to puff up. We got that. And share with them where their true worth comes from. You see, puffer fish, again, are insecure. They think that their worth comes from these stories. They think their worth comes from puffing themselves up and making themselves look better. The problem is they don't really feel that way about themselves. So you kind of have to lovingly encourage them of what God says about them. He didn't make any junk, any mistakes. Let's go to the last fish for today. This is a fisherman's favorite. We're talking about the largemouth bass. The largemouth bass, if you're a fisherman, that's the game fish, right? And largemouth basses, those are the gossips. Those are the people that love to talk about other people. They like to spread the gossip. I'm not even going to say how many thousands of people in this community are part of a website that's for largemouth basses. No joke. Called Nosy of Adrian. And there's thousands and thousands and thousands of members. I'm just telling you, just as a loving pastor, I would not join that website. I would not. I don't need gossip in my life. And those of us, that if you feed off of that, which is why else would you call? Well, call it what you want. You're being entertained by other people being spread gossip and lies about. Even if it's true, if it's harmful to somebody, if it's hurtful, if you wouldn't want those things to be said about you, it's not for us. Gossip is a $1 billion business. Gossip sells headlines. Gossip sells on TV. It sells at the newsstands. It sells on social media. There's something about us. And if you, listen, if you kind of say, you know what, there is, I don't know what it is about it that I like it. It doesn't mean you should eat more of it. You know, one of the reasons, I'll tell you why we can be drawn toward gossip, because it keeps attention off of us for a moment. It's kind of that piranha thing, right? Oh, there's blood in the water. It's not mine. Let me join in. Don Henley did a song about it years ago. I'll date myself again to that. It was called what? Dirty Laundry. Oh, kick them when they're up, kick them when they're down, right? Oh, we all love that. Oh, yeah, it's not me. Take that. It's not me. Let me write on that. I'll join in on that. I don't have anything else to do on a Sunday afternoon. Let me go on this website. Get some scoops on some mate neighbors. Really? Anyway. I was going to go on there and just to see if I could find the listing of all the people and see. No, I'm kidding. It probably wouldn't help my mental state. Notice 1 Timothy. Besides, they get into the habit of being idle and going from house to house. And not only do they become idlers, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things they ought not to. Isn't it amazing God's word deals with all these types of fish? So let's look at some fish facts. Yes, well, let's go ahead and read Ephesians. We're back to that. We looked at that last week. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. You say, well, I don't say it. I just write it. Same thing. But only what's true. No, only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs. Even if it's true, it doesn't need to be said. Even if it's true, it doesn't need to be spread. Even if it's true, it doesn't need to be written about. But only what's helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen, that it may benefit those who read it. Man, we could change our workplaces, our communities, our neighborhoods, if we just applied those. Here's some fish facts. Look at your own large mouth first. Oh, boy, I love this. Take a look at your own large mouth first. Second, gossip is a power trip. You know why people gossip? Because it makes them feel more powerful in the moment. It takes the attention off of them. It's a power trip. The third fish fact, gossip makes us feel better about our own environment. Temporarily. If you're picking on somebody else, you're gossiping about somebody else, you're in the website about other people, it takes the focus off of you, and yet you're the only person you can effectively change. We tend to compare other people. At least I'm not doing that. I'm not perfect, but I'm not doing that. One more fish fact. Turn your large mouth into a small mouth. God, I'm going to run my words. I'm going to run what I type against these passages. I'm going to say, is it really beneficial? Is this going to build others up? Is it going to make them feel better about themselves? Is it going to make me look at them in a better way and not tear them down? I'm going to be a part of the building crew, not the wrecking crew. You can go all the way through the Bible and you can look from start to finish of the fish that we've talked about and you'll find people and characters and names that fit each one of these fish. Because even though we're thousands of years from the biblical time that it was written, names and faces change, but people don't. Jesus had the same people around him swimming in his aquarium that you and I do today. Did Jesus have some more monsters, some of those goldfish that would eat themselves to death, blowing more bubbles? Absolutely. Was there some piranha backbiting people around Jesus? Yes, even his own disciples at times. Were there sucker fish? Were there needy people? Everywhere Jesus went, people were hoping to get something from him. Did he meet every need? No, but yet he did. He didn't meet every need when people said, how about this or this? But he met everyone's greatest need when he went to the cross, did he not? He couldn't have done that work if he'd have done all the peripheral work. And if our Savior couldn't do it, you can't do it, nor can I. Are there flounders in the Bible time? Absolutely. Absolutely. Jesus, trust me, I don't know about these other guys, but I will never turn my back on you. Really, Peter? You're going to deny me three times before the rooster crows. Not me, Jesus, I got your back. Cock-a-doodle-doo, he did it. Blowfish, they're in the Bible. Largemouth basses, in the Bible. And they're in your neighborhood, they're in mine, they're in every church, unfortunately, but we're people. The biggest mistake we could make is say, well, we're all human, none of us are perfect, and just go on our merry way and swim around. It's not what God would want us to do. God wants us to look for these fish qualities in ourselves because he wants us to be more like him. He wants us to see people the way he sees people, not for what they are or what they do, but for who created them and who loves them unconditionally. The only way I can see people more like Jesus sees is I've got to spend more time with him in his word. Because the more I spend time with him, the more I'll begin to see through his eyes. The more I spend time with some of these other fish, the more I begin to become like them. My mama was wiser than she thought. She used to tell me, you're known by the company you keep. I heard those boys do that. Mama, I don't do that. I wouldn't do that. She said, you're known by the company you keep. There's more truth to that than most of us still want to believe. You want your marriage to be strong? Who are you hanging out with the most? You want to bring your kids up in a way that they love and honor God? Then put them in environments consistently where that's being taught and modeled and mentored. It just goes across the board, all over. Now, you say, well, I got some people in my life, they're not in any of these fish. That's because we're not done. We got more fish. Next week, we're going to do fish faces too, because you're right. There's some people we haven't identified yet. I almost said talked about. We're not talking about them. We're talking about us and looking for that. So we're going to look at the solution, and I'm going to tell you the solution next week. I'm going to give you the secret that I believe God makes clear about how do we deal with these difficult people. It's in his book. The secret probably will shock you. And my guess is you don't know the answer yet. But next week, I'll share that with you. Would you bow your heads with me? God, I just pray today that you would be honored and glorified by everything that has been said here today, that God, as all of us take a look at our own lives, that we would look at ourselves in the mirror. That God, that we would honestly take some time this week, this day, to look at ourselves in the mirror, to do an introspective look and look for these qualities. And God, as we see them, I pray that we would respond accordingly. That God, that we would hide your word in our heart, that we would take these passages, especially, God, just the Ephesians passage. God, that we would look, examine our words, examine what we talk about, what we write about, the conversations we get involved in, the conversations sometimes that we start, and we compare it to that passage where you tell us, don't let any unwholesome words come out of our mouths or off of our keyboards. but only for that is helpful to others, that builds others up. God, we could change our environments in a quick hurry, which will also change us if we take this fun subject serious. As Christ followers, we have God's Spirit living inside. For us not to tap into His Word regularly is a mistake. We have everything in us through His Spirit to guide and direct us. We can live by truth, put boundaries in our lives around truth. Love like He loved, see like He sees. But it requires us to spend time with our Savior consistently. If you're here today and you've never given your life to Christ, can I tell you, greater than anything else you need a Savior. His name is Jesus. He's the only one who's ever walked this earth and done it perfectly. You see, you can't earn your way to heaven. God doesn't grade on a curve. Heaven requires perfection, and you nor I are qualified. That's why Easter happened. That's why Good Friday happened. Jesus came, walked this earth perfectly, was crucified because of it, shed His blood so your sins could be forgiven once and for all. He defeated death on Easter so you can defeat death, not because you're good, but because He's perfect. And if you will trust in Him, put your faith in Him, repent, turn from doing life your way, confess that you're a sinner, ask Him to come into your heart and be your Savior and Lord, He will adopt you into His family. Whenever you take your last breath, God will not see you. He will then see His perfect Son in you, which is how you go to heaven. If you've never made that decision, today's your day. Just wherever you're at, wherever you're tuning in from or in this room, say, God, I am a sinner. I admit it. I'm not perfect. I've done many things wrong, to hurt others, to hurt myself. And I understand sin separates me from a perfect God, and it also disqualifies me for heaven. So right now, Jesus, I give You my heart by faith. I turn from my sin. I repent, and I turn to You as my only hope, my perfect hope. I ask You to come in and take residence inside of me with Your Spirit. From this day forward, I belong to You. That can never change, because it's not about me. It's about You in me. And so from this day forward, I want to learn to love You and serve You like You love me. Help me, God, in a practical way now, this week, to be mindful of these fish qualities in me, to spend time with You, to hide Your Word in my heart, that I may see and talk and write and love other people the way You would. We say thanks. We give You all the praise in the name that's above all names. And everyone said, amen.